Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I'm the senior pastor of the Aspen Grove Network, which is a job that I've been doing for 6 months right now. And if you're like, what in the world is that? Who are you? That's awesome. So Highlands is a part of a network of churches that we call the Aspen Grove Network. But the idea is that you'd experience Highlands first, right? Like, so our main thing is that we want you to know that God loves you and that God loves you in and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God is for you, that he equips you. One of the things I want to talk about today is that God loves you, and because he loves you, he wants to equip you. And I want to talk to you about one way that God equips you that I think is so cool and so connected to Easter. And then another way that God equips you that I want you to be especially thankful for today. So that's why I have those cards on your seats, because I want to provoke you to gratitude. And I want to point you in particular to a group of people to be thankful for, because God loves you and he wants to equip you. And so we're going to talk about that. But Aspen Grove is this organization that describes the interconnected relationship between these three churches. So these individual churches, one of which you're a part of and physically inside right now, called the Highlands, is also a part of a church called Woodridge in Medina and a church called Mercy Hill in Minnetonka. And we use the image of an Aspen Grove to describe the way that we exist, because this is what an Aspen Grove looks like, kind of. Obviously, this is an artist's depiction of it. But what it shows is that each tree in an aspen grove is unique. It's an individual, which is amazing. But then under the surface, the aspen grove is all interconnected through its root system. And so in a lot of ways that you don't see on a daily basis, you are interconnected with this growing organization called Aspen Grove that includes the Highlands in Delano, Woodridge in Medina, and Mercy Hill in Minnetonka. And Aspen Grove in Colorado and Utah is the second largest living organism in the world, which is really, really neat. And a long time ago, when we kind of got our start as this multi-site group of churches, this person was praying for us, and they said, the picture that I have for who you guys are is that you're like this interconnected, these individual trees with this interconnected root system. And I was like, that's cool that you have that picture for us. But my personality is like, is that real? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe you're just like, that's amazing. Visions don't have, prophetic visions don't need to be real. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But is it real? And so I emailed somebody at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. And I was like, is this a thing? And they said, yeah, it's an aspen grove. The second largest living organism in the world is an aspen grove in Colorado and Utah. And I was like, I'm sorry that I can't meet your passion for trees, but I'm growing. I'm becoming. And so that's what we're a part of. And one facet of my job is that I get to be the staff leader for our group of churches. And so we're overseer, governed, staff led, which means that I'm on the board of overseers with another group of people, volunteers, who oversee and govern our church. And then I also get to be on the leadership team with a group of staff people that lead our church. And our leadership team is made up of the leadership teams of each one of our individual church locations. And the thing that I said to the second service that I didn't say to the first service that I regret is, you are sitting inside of a miracle of God. Like, as you physically sit inside of this church community, and as you physically sit inside of this church building, you are inside of a miracle that God is doing. And what I hope that you get to see and experience today is that God cares about the world. He cares about the world that he made. And that's true in this really giant sense, but it's also really true in a very specific sense. And in the specific sense, God is inviting you to participate. He is equipping you to participate in what he is doing in the world because he loves us and because he cares about us. So before I get to that, though, I just wanted to share one thing that is happening in Aspen Grove right now that we're really pumped about. Tomorrow is day one of the training for our 65 Aspen Grove athletes that will be participating in the Twin Cities Marathon on October 6th. So is anybody joining Team Aspen Grove and Team World Vision? Aaron, there we go. His second service hand raise was like, maybe I'm not going to do the marathon anymore. But now he's fully committed again. There are 65 people that signed up to participate in the marathon. The Team World Vision uses these endurance races to draw attention for the need of people around the world for access to clean drinking water. And on March 22nd, they had this thing called World Water Day, and they reached out to all of their endurance athlete participants in Minnesota and around the country. And they said, hey, will you reach out to your network of people and invite them to sponsor you and in your race because we have this matching grant. And dollar for dollar, every dollar that's raised is going to be matched by anonymous donors. And so they sent this out, and Team World Vision in Minnesota with the Twin Cities Marathon raised $90,000 that day, which is awesome. But of that $90,000, you can see behind me, $54,000 of that $90,000 was raised by those 65 people in our network of churches. And, you know, just privately, internally, turn off the live stream. We're winning, guys. I mean, my goodness. What a church that you are a part of. What a cool thing. But I love that because it's one example. It's one small example of how we can be interconnected and we can be growing, and how through our interconnection, we can make even more of an impact. And so since today is the day or the day before the training starts, I wanted to just pray for our athletes as they plan and as they prepare. My wife is going to run the marathon, and we were looking at the training plan, and there's some days that say like 20 miles of running, 18 miles of running. And I was like, I don't even think I would bike along with you on that. I'm a 10K guy. Tomorrow I think it's 30 minutes, which is great, but eventually it won't be. And I want us to care about these people that are representing us and that are doing something really cool. So if you're, Aaron's already standing, but if you're doing the marathon, if you just stand up, and then for the rest of you, let's pray for these people. God, thank you for these participants, these athletes here at the Highlands and at Woodridge and at Mercy Hill. God, we are so excited that they said yes to do something hard because you asked them to. God, we know that when you invite us, when you challenge us, that you go with us and you go before us. And so, God, we ask that you would go with our participants that as they begin to prepare for this significant physical and emotional, mental and spiritual challenge. And God, we pray that as they experience breakthrough after breakthrough, God, that you would remind them of those breakthroughs, because they're also going to experience challenge after challenge after challenge. And so, God, we just pray that you would be with them, that you would keep them safe physically as they prepare, and that, God, you would protect the time that they need, that you would be with their families and protect the time in order to train and to do well in this thing that you've called them to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm just like pumped that that's happening and that I'm not running it. I don't know if you feel that way. What I wanted to talk about today is that God loves you, and because God loves you, he wants to equip you. I just think, you know, we're talking about Easter, and one of the ways that God equips us is that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday, on Easter morning, is at work and available in the lives of people who've said yes to Jesus, who've said, you are my king, you are my Lord, you're the one who gets to tell me how to live, I belong to you. And when we say yes to Jesus, he says this incredibly significant yes to us, right? We go from being the enemy of God because of our sin to being called a friend of God, to being called a part of God's family, an adopted son and daughter, a co-heir with Christ. It's just amazing. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is like, God doesn't need to do that. You know, God, I mean, like in the ancient Near Eastern world, when the groups of people that were kind of existing in parallel to the people during like the early part of the Bible in the Old Testament, when they were living, their imagination for the gods is like, okay, the gods fight with each other, they have limited power, and they need human beings to like help them and serve them. Like one of the ancient creation stories is that human beings were created in order to provide food for the gods. That's why they are there. And the story of Genesis, I don't know, if you're not familiar with the Bible or God's story in the world, that's okay. The story of God in the Bible begins so different. God doesn't need us. God has existed for all time and he will exist. And for whatever reason, God chooses to create the universe that we know and that we see and we experience. That's a choice that God makes. He doesn't need to do it. He doesn't create human beings because he needs us. He creates human beings because he wants to. He wants to be in relationship with you. And Genesis 1 and 2 tells us that God doesn't just want to be in relationship with you. He wants to equip you with responsibility. And he wants to equip you with jobs and with activity in the world. He cares about you and he wants to invite you to co-create with him in the world. And then we say no to God. We say, no, God, we would rather replace you than be in relationship with you. We would rather sit on the throne and be our own king and queen instead of being your ambassadors, the ambassadors of the true King of Kings and the true Lord of Lords. And then one of the things I marvel at is that God doesn't just immediately go, well, forget this, right? I mean, again, think about what you would do if you were God and somebody, and you were like, hey, I want to invite you into this. And they're like, no, thanks. I want to replace you. I mean, we're just so petty. And God is so kind. And God is so patient. And in his kindness and his patience, he is just continuing to pursue humanity as humanity in fits and starts, moves toward God and then moves away, moves toward God and then moves away. And then God ultimately moves toward us in the manifestation of Jesus Christ. God literally shows up in the brokenness of human beings to do something decisive that we cannot do on our own, to bring us from death to life, from slavery to sin into freedom. And then when we're in that spot, again, I just marvel because God doesn't need to go back to the way things were in Genesis. He could put you on the JV team. He could put you on the freshman team. We're in spring sports season. I played tennis. This was kind of my season. We weren't allowed to go on spring break. Sometimes we had to shovel the courts. It's hard knock life, tennis in Minnesota, right? And it was just like, am I going to make it on the varsity team? Or am I going to be on the JV team? Because the varsity team, it was just better. They got the new stuff. I was at the Orono Activity Center with my kids this week, and I saw the lacrosse bros getting their new gear. The shiniest helmets you've ever seen in your whole life. Maybe not as shiny as the one that the Tigers will be wearing. I have no idea. But lacrosse gear is sweet. I remember being on cross country, and they threw me a jersey that was like from the 1970s. I will tell you right now, I was not on the varsity team, right? And God does not need to put you on the varsity team, but he does. He doesn't need to invite you in, but he does. He doesn't need to say, I'm going to call you a friend. I'm going to call you an adopted son or daughter. I'm going to call you a co-heir with Christ. He doesn't need to do that, but he chooses to do that because he loves you, which is so amazing. And because God loves you and because God continues to trust you and because God still wants to give you a purpose for your life and invite you into the significant project that he is doing to make earth more like heaven, what does he do? He equips you. And my favorite way that God equips you is that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you. Love that. That's reason enough to pray. But then the other thing that I love that's especially important to me in this new role that I've had for 6 months, is God has given you a good gift. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says this, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Jesus tells us that God is a good father who gives good gifts. One of the gifts that God gives us is the Spirit of God, which empowers us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which again is reason enough to pray. In addition to that, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ himself gives the church leaders in order that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's us. We're the body of Christ. And so one of the things that I've been able to do is I've been able to say to our staff team, like one of the first things I did at like our staff church time that we do once a month is I just said, hey, here's the deal. This is the vision. You are God's good gift to God's people. It's a hard thing to believe. It's a hard thing to believe that God looks at you and says, hey, you are my gift. Every gift has a purpose, and you're my gift. And the purpose that I have for you is I want you to build up my body. I want you to serve my body. I want you to sacrifice for my body. I want you to care about my people. When you look at all of the letters in the New Testament and the behaviors of God and human beings in the Old Testament, God is constantly selecting leaders and empowering them and asking them to be like him, which is to ask them to be servants, asking them to sacrifice, asking them to give, asking them, yeah, sometimes to go in front and asking them to provide vision, asking them to show a picture, a preferred picture of what could be. I mean, all kinds of different stuff. But I kept coming back to this. Jesus Christ gave leaders to his people. God loves you, and he wants you to be in relationship with him. Once you're in relationship with him, he wants to invite you on his team, and on his team, he wants to equip you to help earth be more like heaven. And so what does he do? He gives you the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And in addition to that, he also gives you these people that are God's good gift. And so one of the things that I thought that I would do, I'm doing this message here at the Highlands and then also at Woodridge and at Mercy Hill, is I thought I'd just talk a little bit about like, okay, so what? If these people are God's good gift to us, what do we do with that? What's our response to that? How do we go forward in that direction? And so I wanted to bring you to a couple passages of scripture that talk about what it looks like to orient ourselves toward this gift that God has given us, how to kind of make use of the gift, right? And so the first one is Hebrews 13, verse 17, and then the second one is 1 Thessalonians verse 5 through 12. So Hebrews 13 through 17 says, not 13 through 17, what am I doing? 13, chapter 13, verse 17, slow down, here we go. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, it says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So God has given us his Spirit, and God has given us these leaders who are his good gift to us as his people. And then the New Testament has some instructions for what it looks like for us to be God's people in relationship to these leaders. And it's probably not super surprising to you that like pastors don't go like, hey, you know what I want to do is I want to like kind of scold the church a little bit with my sermon and I want to tell them how I want them to treat me a little bit better. It's not a common text. And so it's a cool opportunity for me to come here. And this is not at all in the spirit of scolding. It isn't when the author of Hebrews writes. It isn't when the author of Thessalonians writes. Instead, what the Bible talks about in the New Testament, it says, let's spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's all be the people that God has created us to be, because if we all behave the way that God created us to be, then we're going to see increasingly earth be more like heaven. We're going to increasingly see people light up with the reality that God isn't against them, that God isn't absent from their story, but that God loves them and would sacrifice for them so that they could know that he loves them. And he wants to invite us into that. And we get to participate in this, not just like in what we do on Sunday mornings, but in the work that we do and the time that we spend at school, that just in all kinds of different ways, we can see our work life be more like heaven than here on earth. It's just, to me, it's so incredible. And in the midst of that, God is giving you these people as his good gift. And so what does it mean to respond to that? Well, Hebrews says, have confidence in your leaders. It says, submit to their authority. So this is what I would say. Number one, have confidence in your leaders. And what a group of people to have confidence in. I mean, this church is just, like I said, we're inside of a miracle right now. And you all are a part of that. And the staff team is partnering with God to lead us in that direction. I think one of the things that you can do when you're invited into something new is to look back at what has been and kind of see where it'll go. So one of the funny examples that I've been using is Brody's mission trip to Fort Myers. So one thing that you could do is you could look at this and you could, if you chose not to have confidence in Brody, you could go, well, Brody's a West Coast mission trip guy, and this is an East Coast mission trip, and I just don't know if he can do it. He's always done mission trips to like Vancouver and Oregon and stuff like that. This is like a whole different time zone. That's going to be tough. Have you ever heard about Florida? You know anything about Florida? Have you read one of those Twitter accounts about like what Florida people do? They're weird. I don't know if he can handle it, right? And that, so that's like, or you could choose, like all of you are, to have confidence in him, right? And go, well, Brody is an amazing youth pastor. He's led so many successful trips. He's leading a successful retreat as we speak. Of course he can do it. Florida's not that weird, sure, but he can handle it. He's incredible. And I would just encourage you, when the staff is inviting you into something new, or in particular, the staff is inviting you into something next in your life, to have confidence in them. If one of the staff people taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you know what? I think that you'd be a really good small group leader. What probably is happening there is that the Spirit of God is interacting with them and going, hey, I want you to call this person to something new. I want you to call this person into something next. I want you to invite them into more of who they've been created to be. And you could look and you could go, not only do you not have confidence, because you don't have confidence in yourself, you choose not to have confidence in them. Or you can borrow the confidence that God has in you expressed through that person, and you can go, I'm really nervous about this, but I'll do it. Like that's an honest confidence statement. Like I don't think I can do it, but if you think I can do it and you're with me and you'll help me, I'll try it. I'll go ahead and try it. So that's one way that you can support these people is you can have confidence in them. Another thing you can do is you can submit to them. What an intense word that in English probably means a lot of things that it didn't mean in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. So the way that I've kind of described submit is I would say, go where they're taking you and then evaluate it. To me, the behavior of suspicion is to sort of evaluate and then decide not to go. And what I would encourage you to do as like your version of submission is go where they're taking you and then evaluate. And I would just say as a community of people, you do this really well. I think that you all do this, and probably not all of you because I don't know all of you, but like as a group of people, a lot of the amazing things that God is doing in and through the Highlands are because you're willing to take risks and you're saying to like Amy and Brody and Aaron and the rest of the team at the Highlands, like, okay, we'll go there. Okay, we'll do it. You want a third service? Fine. You want to switch the time of my service? Do you know, I mean, there are churches that have split over a 15-minute time change, okay? And you guys are doing it with just like, why not? Sure. Don't, you know, I mean, anyway. So I just, like, just a word of encouragement. Another dimension of submit is I would say work with them and not against them. So if there's something that you're like, hey, this is kind of rubbing me the wrong way, schedule a meeting, grab coffee and just go, hey, how can I work with you even though I have this concern? I'm 100% on your team. I want to support you. I want to be with you. But I don't want you to feel like I'm against you or opposed to you, but this is a question that I have. And I can't get my mind around it. So will you explain it to me? So have confidence in them. Go where they're taking you. Work with them, not against them. Hebrews 13, 18, the very next verse says this, pray for us. We pray for us. So one of the things that I think that you can do with the good gift that God has given you is to pray for these people that God has given you. I would say for, like Aaron's the lead pastor, pray for Aaron. Pray that God would protect him. Pray that God would give him wisdom. Pray that God would encourage him. Pray that God would give him humility. Pray for the leader of the ministries that you're a part of. If you're part of women's ministry, men's ministry, one of the kids' ministries, student ministry, pray for the leader of the ministry you're a part of. Pray for the leader of the ministry that your kids are a part of or the ministries that your kids are a part of. And then here's a fourth one that I've been thinking about a lot. Pray for things that are important to you where there isn't a leader yet and say, God, will you raise up a leader to lead this thing that matters to me? Because what you might find is that as you pray like that, like the facets of that are a lot, and there are a lot of people praying, and so God is going to answer that prayer in a big way. Like I said, God gives us good gifts, and there's more than just two, but two of my favorite are that he empowers us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and he gives us these leaders that are God's good gift to us, God's people. So pray for them. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So I want to challenge you to be a community of people that acknowledges this good gift that God has given you. And the best way that I know how to acknowledge people is to say thank you. And the way that the best way that I know how to say thank you is through handwritten cards. Okay, so this is like not in the Bible, it's on your chair, and it's 100% just a passion area of mine. But handwritten cards cut through the noise of digital communication. Handwritten cards show your humanity. For me, it shows my inability to write, okay? And if you get a card from me, you won't be able to read it, but you'll know that it was from me. Other people, you get to see like, oh my goodness, did they have calligraphy in their school? Like, what in the world? But it shows a part of your humanity and your personality in the way that you write. Handwritten cards cut through the digital clutter. They show your humanity. And it's also something that people can keep with them. Now, like, don't be hurt if people throw away your cards. I throw away birthday cards, okay? I throw away Christmas cards. I like to get them, but then I'm not a clutter person, okay? But it gives the opportunity for somebody to take the card that you wrote, the card of encouragement, the card of thanks, the card of gratitude, and to put it somewhere in their life or to put it in a drawer. And it has a longer shelf life because God can use that to remind them, like, this is what is true. Because I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. There are days where it's really, really, really hard to be in ministry. And it's usually not because of anything that you're doing, okay? But it's hard. And it could be, you know, you might have said something that made it hard, but that's not what it really is. It's just that we live in this spiritually charged universe, and God is calling leaders to step up and to oppose the activity of the enemy of God with him. And you've said yes to that, and the leaders of this church have said yes to that. And there are times when that makes this task that God has given them difficult. And so what can you do? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us that we can acknowledge those who work hard among us and who care for us in the Lord. God loves you. Because he loves you, he would die so that you could live. And because God really is God, he's more powerful than death itself. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you right now. In addition to that, because God loves you, he has equipped you with leaders who are his good gift to you. And so I would just encourage you to have confidence in them, to go where they're taking you, to work with them, not against them, to pray for them, and literally today, right now, write them a handwritten thank you card and then hand it to them. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to close our time in praise of God. God, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the multifaceted way that you love us. Thank you that in your love for us, you've called people who were far from you close to you, and that some of those people you've called to be shepherds alongside of you and in your way, Jesus. God, we pray that for the leaders that you've called here to the Highlands, that they would be like you, Jesus. We pray, God, that you would give them courage where they need courage. We pray, God, that you would give them humility because, Jesus, you are humble. God, we pray that you would give them a heart like yours. We pray that, God, you'd give them eyes to see the world the way that it really is according to you. And, God, we pray that you'd give them a vision to take us into your preferred future for us as individuals, for Highlands as a community, for Delano as a city, and for this world, God, that you desire to see more like heaven. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.